Welcome, welcome everyone to this sixth class, I guess, sixth class, but it is the second chakra or the sacral chakra, Morning Star Venus Alchemy Descent Journey that we've been on now since Venus rose as the morning star on November 1st, 2018. Though I know we didn't have our class until the end of November, but we're now approaching that sacral chakra gate that's going to be exact on May 2nd. So something to know is that this gate is connected to the mysteries that include some of my favorite things, how we value ourselves, and also this is connected to the sex and money issues that we talked a lot about in the video that we shared, and we'll talk a little bit more about tonight. Also how we experienced embodied pleasure, all of those things. So if you haven't seen the video yet, be sure you check it out because we'll go into much deeper detail there. We've gone into that there. We won't be covering that so much tonight. We'll just be mentioning it more briefly. So there's lots of reasons that this is a very important chakra gate that for every one of us, especially when we are consider all the cultural challenges that have been around sexuality, around money, around valuing ourselves, and how we value ourselves beyond the measure of money, because this is something I've been noticing a lot lately, is how I feel I can still have this mental image that if people have more money than I do, then their value is greater than mine. So even though I might be bringing great value in many other ways, and just recognizing that our value is not always in the measure of money, and that knowing that we deserve to receive ecstatic pleasure in all its healthiest forms. Yes, I love that. So again, we're really happy to be here with you, deepening our descent into the underworld. In the realm of alchemy, through this death and rebirth process, letting go of the distortions we may experience that keep us from fully receiving the gifts of this chakra. So it's worth restating, as we state in pretty much every class, that we are on a truly powerful collective and personal initiatory journey. Tammy and I are committed to holding our strong ongoing intention as always, and that everyone in this journey with us feels personally supported within this collective container. So if you need additional support, know you can always reach out to us and on the Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, if you're not on Facebook, I don't know what to tell you, but definitely you can reach out there and you can reach out to us if you need to. And so we just love giving our gratitude and appreciation. And we did talk about in the video, there's a big piece on the gratitude ceremony. So thank you, everyone, for all the ways you're showing up and sharing about your journey when it works for you to do that. And you know, even if it doesn't, just being part of this collective field, is we just greatly, greatly appreciate it. And also, just so you know, I think I can speak for Tammy when I say that we really appreciate your sharing when you share on Facebook and on, you know, sometimes we don't have the ability to respond personally, but we do the best we can. And this last month has been, actually last couple months has been over the top insane for me, and I think it has been for Tammy too. So anyway, one of the things I've been noticing is how it's like I have had all these online and in-person events, and when I say yes to them, and it's stuff I love and I'm really happy to do, but somehow they get stacked up back to back, and that has to do with, you know, working with different schedules and everything. So my challenge is to trust that it's all perfect, just as it is, and that I will get it all done, because I got a lot of that going on right now. So I just want to share a piece, because this is a little bit personal, you know, in the spirit of celebrating the gifts of life. One of the gifts that I'm celebrating is that my youngest son and his partner moved back to Tucson in February. And so all of my four children were living in, you know, far, far away. The closest one was 6 hours away in San Diego, and then, you know, Colorado and Northern Arizona. So it's been so cool to have one of them close by, and we got to have Easter together. It was really fun. So And then, of course, one of my kids is in China right now for 6 months. Anyway, but the thing that I'm really excited about is my oldest son is getting married on May 4th. It's Star Wars Day. So I was like, Star Wars Day? And they said, and they informed me, May the 4th be with you. So that's the reason it's called Star Wars Day. And we're going to Colorado so Peter can officiate the wedding. And if this is synchronistically timed with the sacral chakra gate, it's also in the Venus Mars underworld saga that only happens every 6.5 years. So it's a really great time to create something that is not in the old paradigm with all the distortions and so on that around marriage and how they're doing it. So my oldest son, who is a brainiac genius, but likes to refer to himself as a nerd, is he and his beloved soon-to-be wife is they are both nerds together, and they work so well together. It's so fun to see that, and they're doing this in a time when it's about creating a different paradigm around how we do partnership and relationship and marriage. And in fact, Peter and I, when we got married in 2006, we were doing it in the Underworld Saga when Venus and Mars were both conjunct the Sun in Libra, and we had that intent was we were creating a new marriage and partnering paradigm for ourselves, and you know, to help begin to infuse the collective with something different that you know the others might be inspired by. And it really seems to be working because our relationship gets better all the time, and that was almost 13 years ago, so we're pretty excited. Anyway, one of the reasons I'm sharing this is that on May 16th, there is a Venus Mars Underworld Saga webinar that will go into much greater detail on this powerful encounter between Venus and Mars that Tammy and I are doing with Eric and Daniel. I've posted a link to the event on the Sacral Chakra class page. And we encourage you all to consider joining us to find out more, like what does it mean and how can we work with it? And, you know, because we're doing the Venus journey, but Venus and Mars are going to meet up in the underworld with the Sun. I think it's in August when they're going to both be there. And it has a lot of implications and a lot of cool things for us to tune into. And it's, again, something that only happens every 6.5 years. So, we are really just also that reminder that there's no right or wrong way to engage this journey. Whatever's happening for you is perfect and will take you deeper and further into where you most need to go. So the power and impact of transformation that's possible individually is increased, of course, exponentially through our collective intent. So before I do the grounding and centering, Tammy, is there anything you want to add? Tammy?
Yes, sorry. Okay, I was muted. I'm glad that the voice thing is working this time. I just want to add that you know, before we got on, Kaylin and I were, well, first of all, when Kaylin said she was probably speaking for me about Facebook, absolutely, in terms of loving what people are sharing, and also just very deeply appreciating that the quality of conversation and how everyone is kind of taking care of everyone else in a sense, and just building on the creativity and the insights and the incredible engagement with the cycle. So that's been amazing to see, and so just really loving that. And like Kaylin, yes, I am not always on there responding to what's happening, but it feels good that everyone is creating a community in that space. So it's great. And for those who are not on Facebook, you can email us. You know, you can, Kaylin, you can email info@venusalchemy, and you can send us a message if you want us to post it on Facebook or something like that. So just know you're still in the field with us. We know that there are quite a few of you out there who do this in your own timing. And just to say, you are so also in this circle with us. And as well, just to remind you that even if you're not live on the calls, that we, you know, time is not a factor here, that we're all meeting at the same time. And so just to honor that. And for myself, just to say that at the sacral chakra, I'm just, you know, every chakra that we move through, it's so exciting to be able to move into these new energies. And this one in particular, Kaylin and I were talking before we got online speak into how money is something we didn't quite focus on as much when we were putting together this presentation. It is more focused on in the video. So again, as Kaylin said, to really encourage you to watch the more in-depth sacral chakra video as well. But we are really aware that, especially with the sun and Uranus conjunct in Taurus yesterday and this whole Uranus and Taurus activation and now entering the sacral chakra gate, that money finances are something that we all collectively can energize in terms of looking at clearing, healing, whatever stands in the way of an enjoyable, friendly love affair, love relationship with abundance in all its forms, including financial. So, you know, just putting that into the field as well, and we will both probably talk a little bit more about that as we move through, especially Kaylin, I know you'll probably want to bring in, and I'll speak also into the Juno aspect of the money magic that we can work with. So, yeah, thank you.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you. All right, so now we can turn our attention to centering, grounding, inviting in sacred space. So just invite you to bring your attention to your breath and breathe deeply into your belly, allowing yourself to drop into a meditative, receptive space by bringing your attention and awareness to your sacral chakra just below your navel. Breathe into your belly, gently into your belly, into your sacral chakra. And imagine you are filling your second chakra with radiant golden light. And as you're filling it with this light, you use whatever senses work best for you. Maybe you want to use all of these, but you definitely want to see, sense, or feel, or see, sense, and feel this golden light filling your entire body and spreading, fill the room you're in, the neighborhood you're in, wherever you happen to be on the planet, and so that it spreads across the entire earth and fills the entire creation. And feel how this golden light is creating a safe container for you to feel what is yours to feel and to release what is yours to release. And to know whatever it is you are releasing is being alchemically transformed as it returns to pure source energy. So feeling into the sacred space within you and around you, take a moment to thank your grandmother guide or guides, if you have more than one grandmother guide, for all the help and assistance you have received so far. And also thank the relational goddesses that are supporting your journey in whatever beautiful, nurturing ways. And especially now at this sacral chakra, as we release the distortions that keep us from fully embracing the essence of life's force energy as it relates to the Libra goddess, who is here to release anything and everything that is in the way of embodying the experience of bliss. And so as we tune into this, we will now invoke the divine feminine support at the sacral chakra, releasing any distortions we might have around pleasure and intimacy, bliss, ecstasy, abundance, etc. So here we go. Beloved Lady of Pleasurable Enchantments. Say that again. Beloved Lady of Pleasurable Enchantments, Goddess of Sensual Beauty and Orgasmic Pleasure, Mistress of intimacy and satisfier of desires, guide me in releasing all that prevents me from joyously receiving more beauty, more love, more pleasure, more health, and greater wealth. than I have ever imagined. Guide me to face and release any fear I may still have of deep, ecstatic intimacy, so that I experience its deepest gifts and transformation. Mighty One, in the wise use of life force, including healthy expressions of personal value and self-worth, beloved and adored Goddess, guide me to let go of all the ways I have ever believed I am not worthy, not valued, and not treasured just the way I am. Help me release all distortions within me, including whatever prevents me from experiencing the total ecstasy of my life force energy, so I live from the cosmic balance already within me and all I encounter. It is done, it is so, and I give thanks. Blessed be.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kaylin. So we are going to just go very quickly into what we'll be going over today, which is once again sky magic, and there is going to be an incredible, well, even in this moment, we're in a window of profound intensity with Venus and Chiron conjunct today and Pluto in the process of stationing, if you feel that, and Saturn quite close now to the South Node, also preparing to station very soon. So if you are feeling some of the intensity of that, we're going to be talking more about the details of what's happening in the sky, and that's what's happening right now. So we will also be talking about Libra blocks to creative expression, love and intimacy, and money. And then we'll be, again, just giving you some questions to work with and talking about and speaking into and invoking the medicine of the Libra meta goddess moving through these different signs of Aries and Taurus at the sacral chakra. And again, giving you some juicy home play that you can do, and then doing the Venus and Sky Temple journeys. And I bet today we will actually have a little more time for the Q&A, but you just never know.
Because sometimes we think that, but then it doesn't actually turn out to be so. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because there's just so much to explore.
Right. And sometimes the moment takes over and we just have to roll with it.
Yep.
Anyway, so if you look at slide number 5, for those of you who have the PDF ideally in front of you, this is showing May 1st. So that's, you know, it's still a little ways from now. It's like a week from tomorrow. We'll be on May 1st when the moon is going to be starting to catch up. Let's see the moon coming down to catch up to Venus in the morning sky. And you also will see the moon, you won't see Chiron, but the moon on that morning will be close to Chiron, and Chiron's still close to Venus. And so this, you know, Aries, Chiron conjunctions that are taking place over the next 7 years as Chiron moves through Aries feels very profound and important. And of course, this, here we are at the sacral chakra gate, reclaiming, and who better to reclaim these mysteries than the Aries fierce solar goddess, starting with that piece, to start with her, to show up and to have the courage to reclaim this, because it's not something that has been supported or is easy to do in our culture. So anything you want to say, Tammy, about this piece before we move on?
Just that it feels so potent and powerful for anyone who's in this circle, who is in the Chiron and Aries kind of micro generation, you could say, like a 9-year generation. That would be people born between, this latest generation would be 1968 and 1977. And the generation previous to that, I'm not remembering. Kaylin, do you remember?
That's like 50 years before that.
What?
Just those, anybody 50 years before that.
Yeah, 50 years before that. So, but this is, my sense has been, at least for my generation, and I think it's going to be a different octave for the generation before, that that we are kind of coming into our own in a different way. And so it's just this whole Chiron and Aries energy is something that is, it's exciting and it's a little bit intense, and it's powerful that we can tune into it now through the dimension, through the portal of the Divine Feminine, that she's, you know, really opening us after Mercury has already made that transit, and now Venus is helping us to have a deeper understanding of what this whole Chiron and Aries cycle is about.
Yeah, you know, and today, with them being exact today when we're recording this, so we have that energy present for us right now. And I sent an email earlier to Tammy going, what were we thinking of scheduling the class today?
Right, totally.
It was time between the two of us that we could, but it also happens to be this absolute perfection around Chiron and Venus being conjunct today.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been reading A New Earth again, which Oprah's been going through again, you know, with Eckhart Tolle. And I just love, it's not a new concept, but I really have more and more been feeling Chiron as having to do with the pain body. And I really love how in this book I'm appreciating how he articulates the pain body and how it operates. And, you know, so when I see Chiron now, I kind of think, well, it has to do with the pain, you know, really activating and bringing consciousness to the pain body so that we can really choose to alchemize it. And so to be encountering the pain body of the feminine and even her right to be, her right to exist, spoken as a Chiron and Aries in the first house person, it's potent medicine to be working with.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes, the pain body. And how are we using the alchemy of Chiron to transmute and transform that?
Yes.
And to restore, really, I mean, if you think about the Aries goddess, and we did the whole journey with the Aries meta goddess over 19 months and focused so much on how it's about restoring cosmic justice, mm-hmm. Restoring the cosmic balance. It's, you know, what needs to heal in order for that to happen. And here we are revisiting that theme again at the sacral chakra. And this is a place where the Divine Feminine has really not been supported to be in her power in the patriarchal culture. Mm-hmm. You know, women as property, women as the only thing that was of value was her womb because she could have children. Otherwise, she wasn't really considered valuable or important. She was more of a nuisance.
Right. And for the, you know, and as you're saying that, I think, you know, the deeper dimension, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, but the deeper dimension of the female having, you know, having value and worth in and of herself, but even more deeply so, the relational feminine, that she be valued and perceived of as having actually a strong sense of identity, a strong sense of self in the very fact that she can show up for partnership and relationship instead of it being seen as something in a way that's a weakness or that's not real work or that's not, you know, true, it's not a true cultivation of a skill set, you know, the actual skill of being relational and, you know, have that be valued, I think is also something we might be encountering this month.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say that my beloved, you know, we got married in the Venus underworld, Venus Mars underworld, so that we could create something new and different, die to the old and be born to the new. He constantly is supporting me and telling me what kind of value I bring to his life. And it's not necessarily, it's not financial, but it is in so many other ways. And he'll stop me because I kind of just blow right past it, you know? Venus and Aries, what can I say? He's like, let me just stop and receive that.
Right, Taurus Moon, Peter. Yeah, he knows.
Right. Anyway, so I love this is all happening in the Aries realm because my Venus and Aries could really learn to slow down and receive this in that more sacral chakra way.
Absolutely. You say that, Kaylin, I just want to briefly say that the Libra, the fact that we haven't really talked maybe enough about it, we had two Libra full moons last month, which is fascinating, in the Libra Venus cycle, and that the first one featured Chiron with the sun, and that the second one featured Chiron and Mercury conjunct in the first degrees of Aries, and that it was a 29-degree Libra moon, which Lace was actually pointing out on one of my posts, and I hadn't really thought about this, but Kaylin, she was pointing out, but making a really good point, that that's where we began this Venus cycle. So, you know, we've been doing this powerful alchemy and healing around the feminine and around Libra through the last full moon season, too.
Yeah, because the full moon, of course, first one was within hours of the, or just before the equinox was exact. I can't remember, because I think the second Libra full moon was
just
the one that
hours.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah, identifying the Easter thing, the first full moon after the spring equinox, the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Well, there was a full moon on the equinox, but they didn't count that one because it was, you know, like hours prior. So it pushed it way out 29 and a half days later. But yeah, and it's not that often you will get two Libra full moons. It has to be the first one would have to be on or near the equinox in early degrees of Libra for there to be a second one in the later degrees. That only happens every 19 years, and it just so happens, so I love what you're bringing up here, it just so happens that the Venus cycle started at 29 degrees Libra back in November, and then we had a full moon at 29 degrees Libra that can only happen every 19 years.
Yep.
Wow. That is so wild. And
yeah,
then,
thanks,
of course,
please.
Chiron. And Chiron being involved can only happen every 50 years. So then if we put all that together, it's even longer.
Totally. Totally. Like, well, and then if you consider the fact, it's amazing. And if you think about it, like, that we are just coming out of this Chiron wants a lot of attention right now, obviously. It's in the sign of Aries, right? So, but it's, you know, we've just had a Mercury retrograde that was basically retracing the steps of Chiron to the degree of 16 Pisces, you know, right after Chiron moved into Aries, then Mercury took us right back through that territory and then right back down, just as if, you know, we keep getting these downloads of what Chiron's been up to and then now bringing us into the present to do more of this really potent work.
Yeah, so cool. So if you look at slide number 6, and we still see that this big Aries lineup, Chiron, Moon, Venus, Mercury, happening on the day of the exact conjunction. And also one of the things to keep in mind is that you might remember that the Venus-Moon conjunction last month was under the circlet of the fish. And now you see it's closer to the body of the fish or moved further down into the body of the fish. So because it was that Venus moon conjunction was very close to the equinox point that is around zero Aries, and so the Venus moon were very close to that point that we showed in the last class. You see those crossing lines of where when the sun rises at that point we have equal day and night, and then we had the Venus moon conjunction within a week or so after that. So anyway, pretty cool. Sky magic happening all over the place. So if you look at slide 7, this will be the day after. And because Venus is so much lower on the horizon, if those of you have been watching and can see, she's not as high as she was. At 6 a.m., it's like the moon's just barely gotten over the horizon. and the sun is already starting to come up. So this is going to be a little harder to see. Probably is my guess anyway. But you see Mercury is not that far. And of course Chiron doesn't show up here, but the other thing just to know, and you can't see it in the slide, is that Mars is in Gemini. Venus is in Aries. The gap between the two of them is closing. And by, I think, July, they both are in the underworld. And then in August, they're going to be together. And so this is a big piece that is, you know, stay tuned, right? And also just again to mention that we're doing this, the only time they come together in this entire journey the 2-year Mars journey and the 19-month Venus journey is in with the sun, the source of life and light, new sourcing something new around how the masculine and feminine do partnership and relationship. So we're very excited to do a webinar special on that and hope that some of you will want to join us because it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, it's better such a phenomenal transit.
I know. I love it. It's only every 6 years.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Just to say, just to speak to something that people might be feeling when we come to this stage of the journey, you know, because so much of what we can appreciate about the Venus cycle is how deeply we can feel in our body this relationship with Venus, much like we feel with the sun and the moon, because we're really observing where she moves in the sky. And so what can begin to happen at this phase, you know, when we see her bright and shiny up in the sky, you know, at her maximum brightness, and we feel that energy, you know, it's a certain kind of jubilant kind of energy. And as she starts to move down, I know I haven't been able to see her as well. There can be a corresponding feeling of like a slowing down or kind of a little bit of a missing or a sadness that comes with that. You know, it's just kind of part of the journey. It's like, okay, there's something, there's a dropping in that's happening. So just to, you know, to, again, maybe I'm speaking into Chiron a little bit with this, but that there's something kind of beautiful about that, but also just to be with that, to feel that, and let that be part of the journey of the dropping down and in experience as we prepare for Venus to go to the underworld.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. So on slide number 8, there are the dates of some of the more significant events, and it's not just these events, of course, because there's other things happening, but they're the ones that are mainly happening with Venus. So we have the Venus Moon Gate May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Then May 15th, Venus is going to move into Taurus. So at the sacral chakra, how perfect that she moves into Taurus to complete that gate, you know, to finish out that part of the journey. It's like halfway through, right, the gate, that part of the gate. And then the Scorpio full moon on May 18th, and so if you look at slide number 9, that it's showing the chart of the Scorpio full moon at 27 Scorpio. And what's really fascinating is that Uranus and Venus are very close. In fact, I think their exact conjunction is the day before or some hours prior to this. But they're still really, really close at the time because Uranus is at 359, almost 4 degrees, and Venus is at 413. They're only 14 minutes apart at the time of the exact full moon. And so Uranus bringing in the unexpected, innovative, revolutionary, perhaps, you know, things that are really helping Venus in her relationship to herself, valuing herself. Taurus is also about a lot of self-value, but all the things we talk about at the sacral chakra are very much connected to the Taurus mysteries of experiencing pleasure and beauty and how we experience the abundance of life, including the financial abundance, as well as the abundance of love and intimacy and connection and sexuality and all of that. And so it feels like Uranus is here to really bust up the all the distortions and all of the things that have been in the way of that more full-on experience of the divine feminine, being able to claim that within herself at the Scorpio full moon.
Powerful.
So, I know, so powerful. We're also going to look at the days of no shadows, and interestingly, on May 18th, the day of the Scorpio full moon, is one of the Venus days, and we'll see that as we go along in just a moment here. So on slide number 10, we're seeing the full moon and where it's rising and how it's connecting in with the constellation. What's really interesting is you don't see it so much on the top image. You can see the stars of the scale, Zubin El Janubi and Zubin El Shamali, are on the above part, but in the lower part of it, a little bit later, when Venus, when the moon is a little bit above the horizon, you can see that it's in the head of the scorpion, or, you know, moving into the head of the scorpion. Pretty cool placement for that to be. So definitely worth tuning into and just picking up whatever the transmission is that the moon is bringing from that part of the sky out in its fullness. So anything more you want to say about that, Tammy?
No, just it's exciting, and I can't wait to see it. Hopefully.
Right? I love this part of the sky, and I love to see the full moon there. It's just awesome. And it's so, you know, this is what will be in the east as the moon is rising, and we're in the coming into the time of the year when the scorpion and the archer, we have the scales from the scorpion and the archer so beautifully present in the evening sky. So what happens, so if you look at slide number 11, you're seeing in these three pictures, the opening of a zenith tube from a little bit further away, and then also the effect on how the zenith tube is basically this straight tube that opens down into, you know, it's like 26 feet going into the earth. It goes into a 32-foot diameter chamber. And because of it being so deep into the earth, there's only certain days that it can be lit when the sun is directly overhead, because the light can go directly into it. Otherwise, the light's going to like angle off and not get all the way into the tube. And so this is something that the Maya people were tracking and would use when these chambers were lit. They would know that there were certain ceremonies, and basically, you know, even more important to them than equinoxes or solstices in some of the cultural traditions. So we have that happening, and it's also referred to as the days of no shadows, because if the sun is directly overhead and you put a stick in the ground, there will be no shadow cast around it anywhere at that particular time, just on those particular days. And then if you look at slide number 12, you can see a better image of the Venus, this cavern being lit by the light of the Venus cube. And
can I ask you a question about that image?
Sure.
Just I wonder, like, when I've seen that before, I don't know if you know this or not, because I've seen this image in different places. Is that like a literal, is that really the light coming through? Because it almost looks like it's so bright. Is that real, do you think?
I'd like to think it is. But, you know, it could be.
It is in my imagination, too.
Well, it could be enhanced by camera. It could be enhanced. I don't know. But the whole point being that the light will come straight down into that tube and light it up. And it's the only time the tube is lit without other artificial lighting. It's the only natural thing. So, yeah. So what's interesting is that as the sun moves into Gemini on May 21st, and that's the, you know, at certain latitudes, like 20 degrees north latitude, and Chichen Itza, and I know you've seen this, Tammy, and you've experienced this, those days of no shadows, pretty remarkable time, and I have an intent to go and have the experience directly myself, and I really want to get in and have the experience of the Venus tube.
Yeah, me too.
Being on
but
one of those days.
It is so fun to be able to just be there at noon at Chichen Itza and look down, and like literally everybody's noticing that the shadow around your feet is just like right around your feet. I have a picture of it that I'll post in the Facebook group. It's super, super strange feeling.
Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, days of no shadows. So, but it only lasts for, you know, a short amount of time. It's not all the whole entire day. It's only when the sun is directly overhead. So the sun is only directly overhead for maybe, I don't know, an hour. It's moving across the sky, so it's not going to stay in that zenith point for too long. But if you look at slide number 14, what you're seeing is the pyramid at Chichen Itza, the serpent pyramid, and this is an equinox where it's lit, the serpent is lit. And that only happens at the equinoxes. And slide number 15 has a similar thing, but it's also showing you the top of the pyramid. And sometimes the zenith days will vary a little bit, May 19th, 20th, 21st, or May 20th, 21st, 22nd, because the sun's orbit is 365 and a quarter days, so it's not always exactly the same, but it's within these days. And what's interesting is we are currently in a time when the sun is at the zenith point in this latitude at this location, it's also with the Pleiades. So basically, if you look at slide number 16, it's showing how it's putting the rattle of the snake, because the Mayans saw the Pleiades as, they called it Za'ab, T-Z-A-B, Za'ab. They saw that, they called it the rattle of the snake, and it puts it exactly over the top of the pyramid with the sun opening the portal, creating, and it only can happen every 26,000 years. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the cross check on this 26,000-year cycle we like to talk about in shamanic astrology. And it happens for at least 72 years. It's probably more like 144 years that it's going to be, that sun and the Pleiades are going to be pretty close together at that zenith point. So during this Venus gate, when Venus is at the sacral chakra, we have this happening at the same time. It's like the rattle of the snake being put into place, the Kundalini serpent, right? We talked a lot about snake medicine in the last class, and so here we are. We still are experiencing the snake medicine. So I know you probably have more to say about that.
Oh, just, that the snake medicine, of course, so connects to the sacral chakra and to the life force energy, the Shakti energy that we're working with. But just to say that when I went to Chichen Itza for the solar zenith, that it was right after Kaylin. I had just taken my first cosmology class in shamanic astrology. I can't believe it's been that long ago. It was like 2008. And I just learned about it, and I was with two other women, and it just makes me think about, for any and all who are part of this circle and who are taking the cosmology class or studying shamanic astrology, that once you start to get that bug, because I just happens this way where I got to go to that spot at that moment, which I knew, I was the only person there that knew that this could only happen every 26,000 years, you know, for a period of 32, 70, whatever, you know, for a number of years, but to know that and be there then and understand that alignment it's so addictive, kind of, to be able to participate in this, you know, in these sacred sites. But just so, just so potent and powerful to be there at that moment. And to know that whether we're there or not, because actually what I want to mention is that, you know, May 20th was also the date, and I'm sure there's no coincidence there, that there would be these voyages. Even still, they have voyages from Playa del Carmen in the Yucatan to the island of Cozumel, which was the island dedicated to the goddess Ixchel, where women would travel on foot, by foot, from as far as Mexico City or Panama, sometimes twice in their lives at menopause and menarche, that they would take this pilgrimage, and they would, so now they reenact it on May 20th every year. There's a small group that does that. They take these little boats out, and they go to that temple. And my sense is that there also would have been some alignment there with the solar zenith at the temple dedicated to Ixchel.
Yes.
And perhaps, yes. It was more the full moon in November, because she is the moon goddess. So it may have been that it was like an inverse thing, where it would have been the full moon at the top of the sky on November. What would it be? November 20th, the opposite day.
Well, that would only be the full moon would only be there every 19 years. But basically, there is the sun would be opposite the Pleiades.
Right.
In November. So So the Pleiades would be visible above the pyramid, not with the sun. But so like if it's happening with the sun in May, it's the opposite the sun. So like a full moon Pleiades point, not a full moon point.
Yes.
But
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. And so that's pretty amazing. And then if you look at slide number 17, these are the pyramids that Teotihuacan, well, there's the Pyramid of the Sun, the very big one that you're seeing, and the Pyramid of the Moon, which is also pretty big, but not quite as big. And they're like almost a 90-degree angle from each other, and they feel really strongly that they were also tracking the 19-year lunar standstill. Maybe we'll be able to find out in 2025 when we have the next lunar standstill. Check that out. But this is, again, their zenith, their solar zenith is happening on May 18th, really close, or 19th, really close. You know, just it's like it happens at this pyramid and then it goes to the next pyramid because this one's at 19 degrees latitude, and then Chichen Itza is at 20 degrees latitude, north latitude. So it's tracking a little bit differently. And they built different pyramids to have the solar zenith points happening at different times. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then on slide number 18 is, this is actually, I don't know if it's a plane flying over, but this is the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan, and, and having its solar zenith day just prior to the one at Chichen Itza. And you see a balloon below here in the kind of rightish corner. And I loved it because I got to do a balloon ride over over the Pyramid of the Sun in 2017. And I was like, if I'm ever going to do a balloon ride, it's totally going to be over the pyramid.
So there's Kaylin in the little, there you are. That's
right?
You.
Exactly. It was so fun. I loved that so much. Anyway, but I was there in April, so now I'm thinking maybe it'd be good to go back and would it be fun to do it. Of course, they don't do balloon rides at noon, but to have that experience of the solar zenith there sometimes. So anyway, just planting seeds. We don't know where that's going to go, but so much.
I'll be at the Ishel Temple. We just have to have a whole group of many of us at different sites, and then we'll just connect at the same time and see what happens.
Cool.
I'll be in Cozumel.
Right. okay. So just something to know that, because you were mentioning Ishel, the Temple of Ishel. So IX is the beginning of Ishel's name, and IX Ish is the name of Jaguar in Mayan. And so there are certain Jaguar days that happen every 20 days. Jaguar days happen. This year it's going to be May 13th. So it's kind of like up the time right before we have the, and the next one will be June 2nd, right at the next gate, at the chakra gate.
Powerful.
So we'll probably have to talk about that more next time. But anyway.
We probably do. But it's important. I mean, Ishel was also, would it initially often appear as Jaguar woman. So she's very connected to that. And I just had a dream with a jaguar recently too. And I bet many of you have been having jaguar dreams too, because it seems to be a theme. As these things tend to be, snakes and of course, Kaylin being born on the day of the jaguar is big medicine for you. So.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we're going to shift into a little bit more of what we've already been kind of touching on, because it's so hard not to, which is more of the felt sense of what this might be about beyond the night sky or the sky magic that we can see. So Libra blocks around creative expression. Of course, the sacral chakra has so many dimensions, and one is our creativity, our generative capacity, our womb of creation, as we talked about in the video. And part of that is really to be able, we need this generative part of ourselves to be online and awake and alive so that we can shift dynamics in our life. So if you are having blocks around the sacral chakra, you might have this experience of feeling like, what if I never create new, healthier patterns in relationship? And so if that's something that comes up for you again, you know, I think even the way that's phrased feels kind of chironic, like this, like just this feeling of maybe this can never shift. You know, it's encountering the pain body around that. So what would it take, you know, to really to clear and alchemize that? What if I am never able to cultivate my innate gifts, skills, and talents because I focus all of my attention and energy on other people and relationships ending? You know, I think that's something we may experience even if we are seen by others as successful in our work or in our careers, or if we've been, you know, if we have focused more on the realm of relationship, we might do this either or thing where we feel like that's not really a real skill, that's not really important, that doesn't add up to anything on the one hand. And then also there might be a real desire that we have to be able to do more of the work that does not involve personal relationship tending. You know, even if we have Libra, we might want to tend to our relationship with our inner world, with to our spirituality, to the natural world, to our contemplative selves. So that can be something that might come up as well. What if when I develop my creative talents and skills, it threatens others' egos or causes them to be envious of me or not like me? That's a huge deal, you know, for many people. I think when I was studying curanderismo, you know, when I was in New Mexico, I was reading an account of this woman, Elena, I can't remember her last name, but she was really helping to illuminate what the evil eye is in that kind of tradition, and other understandings that you, when we have envy toward another person, or when we are really focusing our energy on someone like that, it actually can cause distress for the other person unless they have really strong energetic boundaries. And sometimes when we are more sensitive, that's something we learn over time. So, but we might sense that. And so we might be afraid, you know, like because our sister was always, you know, the one who was more talented in this area and would be, feel threatened if we went there, or, you know, that we were the ones who were, again, more about people-pleasing and about making everybody happy and not so much about cultivating our skill set outside of the realm of relationship. So we might have a fear that if we focus our energy in a new place that we won't be loved, we won't be cared for, so or people might be envious of us. So those are some things that might come up this month. Kaylin, do you want to add anything to that?
I think that is so, so true. And just the, I mean, I've had that those experiences myself because of being overly concerned about how, you know, being liked or being not being liked or whatever it might be. And so holding back and not moving, you know, not putting things out there because I'm afraid of how people might respond to that. I'm getting over it as I get older, but I can definitely relate to having done that. And the thing is that if people, we need to celebrate each other. We need to be like excited for each other for yeah. being able to bring our gifts forward, because everybody who can bring their gifts forward in a good way and get celebrated and honored and valued for that, that creates the space for the rest of us to do that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. So yeah, that's so perfect. It's just like that's. It's like when you say that, it feels like it's like there's enough for all of us, you know. And if we know that for ourselves, and we recognize that's a deep truth, then we also, even if we sense into any potential envy or whatever from other people, we can just know, well, that's not really mine. You know, that's not my responsibility. I can repel that because I myself know that when I shine, that I create the space for others, and that's my deep intent is to create more space for other people to come into their fullness and to fully cultivate themselves. So beautiful. All right. So then there are also, you know, if we look at Libra specifically, we look at blocks around pleasure, intimacy, money, all topics that we have such charge around in our culture. You know, even just saying those words, it's like, ooh, they feel good. They feel scary. I'm so focused on processing the relationship, I don't know how to drop into my body and surrender to pleasure. That's something that can come up that is a block around experiencing pleasure. I can say this personally because in my last relationship, which was so beautiful in so many ways with my Libra, my former Libra ascendant partner, you know, I have Libra on the descendant, and I've got some Libra qualities just maybe because I was raised to be a people pleaser, but I know for both of us, we would go into this Libra zone of just talking through everything endlessly. And there's not a lot of juice in that. You know, that's a way of controlling and managing as well, instead of just dropping into the present moment, feeling what is, and whether that's dropping into pleasure or discomfort, or, you know, that's something that Libra can get caught in the mind, and it can be a real block. So, and then intimacy, I bend over backwards to please you, but I can't tell you what I want. That's a huge deal too. You know, more and more of us are recognizing, especially women, but also men who carry this pattern, that if we want to create new patterns in a relationship and experience, you know, satisfaction and a nice sexual dynamic and these things, that we have to actually be able to take the time to explore what we really want and courageous enough to say that. So people pleasing is, you know, kills Eros. I get so caught up in the role of good partner. Go ahead, Kaylin, you want to say something?
I just was laughing and saying, yeah, totally kills relationship.
Yeah, sheesh. I get so caught up in the role of good partner, people pleaser, I forget to develop my own interests or stand my ground in conflicts. Because again, if we don't know how to just be who we are, stand our ground, and just really be authentic and genuine, that again, that kills Eros. There's no openness, there's no energy there to really deeply connect. Or I've never been fully met before, so I don't believe it's possible for me. That's also something that can happen for a person who's working with Libra. It's you and your ancestral, you know, the women and the relational men in your line. Also, you may feel that energy of, I've tried so hard. You know, I gave my whole self last time and the time before that, and I'm tired. And I just don't believe that anything can change. So if you feel that sadness or that resignation, again, I think, feeling into and hearing that pain body around that, then just let yourself feel that and let that fall away. Let that drop. It's something maybe that needs to be felt and then released. So then money, I just have to say, my friend's dog loves to howl with the coyotes. So the coyotes are howling right now. They agree with all of this. Oh, it's so funny. Okay. So with money, you want to say anything, Kaylin?
I just said we should be howling with them.
Okay, you should be. Okay, I'm so tempted. Okay, so I'm going to keep going. So with money, this is one. This my sister, a beautiful, beautiful, awesome soul. She used to frustrate me endlessly because she was trying to establish her own practice. She's a Libra moon, trying to establish her own practice. But she was always struggling with money, and she wants to create this new cultural paradigm, and she's so pure and she's so amazing, but she was always really fuzzy around, should I charge or not charge? And even when you knew she was completely broke and going into debt, she would kind of do this halfway thing of sort of charging but sort of wanting to do trade or doing the gifting economy. And I'm kind of laughing at it, but also understanding it's so natural. You know, we want to shift the way this money game works. But it can be that if we're really caught in this trap, because we are working in a world that still has money, part of what our challenge might be is to embrace the level to which we're needing to work with money, bless the money that we do have running through our lives, and invite enough to sustain ourselves, even as we take practical actions to move ourselves more and more deeply towards a gifting economy or more of that. It's so fun to do trades. So fun to do that. So anyway, but some of us, I know we might have some mixed messages internally around that, and it's natural. So how to clear and release the mixed messages to the degree that they block us from taking care of ourselves and put us in survival mode. That would be my desire, is to release that pattern. And then also, I'm so busy taking care of, my place. The relationship, I don't consider my financial future. That can definitely happen. I think that happens often with women who are so focused on the marriage, especially traditionally, and then they have a divorce and they find themselves in a bad situation because they haven't learned to take care of themselves financially. Anyway, so that's it. Kaylin.
Yes. not only, and you know, it's really about not just like say you're with somebody who's earning all the money, but if you're your own, you know, doing that for yourself, and this is wisdom people have probably heard, but you need to pay yourself 10% before you do anything else. And if you do that and you put it away and you, and it's not to be touched, it's like, it, you know, you figure out how to put that money to work for you. But over time, it creates a great cushion for you and it can shift your whole relationship to all of that. I've been doing that and it's really been helpful. And and then the other thing is what people find, and my kids are doing this, the ones that are living here in Tucson now, they've been doing this and they've been finding that they have what they need. But they've been setting aside so they have more than, you know, they have more than they need. It's like a way of energizing abundance. So considering our financial future is also about saving.
Yes.
And something, 10% at least, right?
Yes. So. Think about it like, you know, think if you're going to think about a natural systems approach, like just think about squirrels or think about, you know, animals like that, a bear will eat so much before the winter when he needs to hibernate or she, you know, that yeah. There's the natural need we have to feel like we can thrive and survive where we've got enough extra that if times get hard, that we know we're cared for. That's something that in the natural world you see happening all the time. So we can mimic that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. So Libra questions around intimacy. What does the Libra feminine experience of healthy pleasure and intimacy look and feel like? How might wounded Libra block pleasure, intimacy, sexual aliveness? Consider the wounds coming from being considered property rather than an equal partner. Whoa, that's deep. That is so deep. What other reasons might there be around this? How might you engage? You want to say anything else about that, Kaylin?
About being considered property.
Yeah, right. I mean this question.
Well, I mean, you know, because the whole thing about people being married in relationship, it was about the ownership, like the men owned the women in that situation. And so those, you know, that there still can be a little bit of that going on. Like I see people talk, you know, like men talk to women that they're married to kind of in that way. And man, my hackles go up when that happens. But so it's just becoming aware, like what, you know, what are those wounds and how can we transform that so that we can be equal partners and not, you know, the subservient one or the dominant one or whatever that's about.
Absolutely. Yep. So how, and you know, for women, for us as women to do everything we can to empower ourselves financially, you know, because that is breaking a pattern. And whether that's, you know, choosing to be in partnerships where perhaps our partner does hold more of the energy around money, they do take care of that more, but we know that there's a clean, clear energy around it where we're empowered, we're supported as the feminine should be, but there's no, on either end, there's not this misperception of ownership or of, you know, hierarchy that diminishes us. How might you engage healthy feminine Libra? So how can we actually use the strength of Libra to heal these blocks? And how does this serve Libra values when we do that to of equal conscious collaborative relationship? So we have a lot of questions this time, I'm realizing.
Yes.
I'm going to kind of skip the questions for Libra at the sacral chakra. I think if that's okay, just because
sure. There's
a lot in it, some of it is going to feel familiar, but the questions are always good because, you know, we've got about four questions or you can choose anything in any of these questions that you can just journal on over the course of a week or all, you know, one a week or just, because it just really does help us go deeper into what this is about for us. Okay. So now we're going to move into the Libra Meta Goddess and Aries at the Sacral Chakra. And the dates for that are going to be May 2nd to the 15th. And again, it can feel as if we are revisiting some of the themes of the Aries Venus cycle. But there's just this is the gate where you could say the Aries Venus is all in for clearing and releasing barriers to sensual sexual pleasure in her closest bonds. And so that's, you know, because the Libra goddess wants really deep committed partnership. And she also, you know, historically, you've had to choose. Either you are in a committed partnership marriage bond that usually is pretty asexual over time, or you're having sex but you don't want to because you're not really cherished and nourished and cared for, or you can be the other woman or the lover who receives none of the security and the, you know, that dimension of it, but does, you know, is adored and is loved and is perhaps hopefully really experiencing the intimacy and sexual pleasure. So at this gate, the Aries goddess is saying, you know what, like, or the Aries is, energy is like, well, I want that too. I want it all. And that's not too much to ask for, because this is what it means to be a whole individual for many of us, you know, for whom, if we want to engage that sensual sexual dynamic in partnership, that it's our time to clear that, you know, it's our time to do that. It may also be that it has to do with clearing those blocks around a sensual sacred relationship with life, with our own bodies, our own selves, our connection to our creativity, because that's very much about sexual energy as well. But in this gate, we might encounter the places where we have lost our intimacy with our core self because we've been in relational over-caretaking. We might grieve where we've been neglecting developing our talents due to fragmented attention from focusing on the needs of everyone else and forgetting ourselves. So this month's about dropping into full sensual lovership with ourselves, it is Aries after all, and our creativity first. And then this naturally overflows into deeply pleasureful relationships with our beloveds, which feels so good. You want to say anything about that, Kaylin? Yeah.
Bring it on.
Perfect. That's such an airy statement for that. So the Libra meta goddess and Taurus at the sacral chakra is just, I mean, if you can just feel that, you know, Libra, of course, traditionally was seen as also the love goddess. And then you've got Taurus, and then you've got, and both of Taurus and Libra were connected to the Venus mysteries. And we've got that at the sacral chakra. So really, again, really about this relational intimacy, alchemy at the deepest levels. So May 15th to June 1st, Venus and Taurus at the sacral chakra is allowing all limitations to deeply intimate, pleasure-filled partnership to fall away. And again, we may first encounter our personal or ancestral grief over relationships where our sexual authenticity was stifled by trying to fit some ideal image of wife or partner. Where we just had to fit ourselves into a box, which meant we weren't able to express the wilder, the more natural, the more orgasmic aspect of our dimension. You know, many, many of the female ancestors, and perhaps some male as well, who were, by their nature, deeply sensual beings, cut that part of themselves off completely. So, you know, this month we can ask gently that those, whatever of that kind of shut down, shut off, aspect that might still vibrationally live in us, that fall away. You know, that really, like, fall away to open us to our full sensuality, our orgasmic experience of life. We might also face and heal shutdown around sensuality caused by betrayal and painful relationship dynamics that broke our trust and destroyed intimacy. Because, again, you know, Taurus is a sign that there is a kind of, to deep Taurus, And Libra, when Libra is moving through Taurus, there's such a vulnerability in some way to being deeply, fully intimate that, you know, if we've been deeply, deeply open, our hearts are blasted open by a lover, by a beloved, by a partner, and then we experience betrayal, for us, it may be that we do such a deep shutdown that we really do need to create a space of profound tenderness and nourishment to open into the vulnerability of being fully connected to our pleasure again. So just to recognize, you know, that may not be true for everyone, but for some, for ourselves, and if there's any of that vibration again that we are in contact with from our ancestral lineage, again, to just let it fall away, to feel it and let it fall away. So this month we are joyfully alchemizing old intimacy wounds into the gift of full-bodied, multi-layered experiences of love, sensual pleasure, and ecstatic bliss within the context of partnership with other and through self-pleasuring. So, and then the Libra sacral chakra home play has more dimensions to that, with a self-pleasure practice of writing 20 to 100 things that bring you deep pleasure in your Venus journal. So for a week or longer, you might commit to doing one of these things each day. And you might identify and track any resistance holding you back from engaging these practices or completely immersing yourself in them. Allow your growing awareness to support you in releasing blocks and receiving more pleasure in your life. And then you may also choose and or at the end of each day to track in your Venus journal where you experience pleasure and intimacy. Just, you know, you don't have to make it write down those 20 things, but just kind of paying attention and then see how you responded to those things. So really tuning in and saying, am I open to receive the pleasure that is available to me every day? And if you do cut yourself off or block it, to just become aware of that and then ask what it will take to move past that. So that is our...
Love that.
Yeah.
That's a great practice. Awesome. I hope people will do that. And so just one quick thing before we go into the journeys is to talk a little bit about Juno Moneta, and we do talk about her quite a bit in the video. But interestingly, Juno is the Roman expression of Hera. And Hera and Zeus, you know, we know from Greek myth that that was a very strained relationship, and that it really represents the takeover, the patriarchy, and Zeus being and Jupiter being Juno's partner, being the expression of completely trashing what it means to be in a relationship and having honesty and communication and connection and all of those things. So what's interesting is that Juno, in one of her expressions, is the goddess of money. The first temple, the temple that was built to Juno in the center of Rome, was the first place they minted money. And Moneta, her name Juno Moneta, Moneta is the root word of money. And so, it, you know, one of the things we talk about is how this is the sex and money chakra. So just looking at, and here we are, you know, this is the month of paying our income tax, and this is the month of really looking at our finances and all of that. So, you know, paying attention to your relationship to money. It feels like it's a really powerful time to tune into that as we, you know, go through the sacral chakra, inviting Juno. Perhaps maybe what we want to do is, you know, in the journey, I say relational goddess, but maybe it's inviting Juno to come and be the one who's with us in the Venus temple. So anything else you want to add, Tammy?
No, that's awesome. I'm so glad you caught that when we were talking earlier today. It's like, oh, yes, so important.
Right? I have had this intention of doing more about the story of Juno and Hera at one of these gates, and just haven't been able to quite pull that together yet. So I'm just putting it out there. Now that I've said it, I really have to do it. And here we are at the gate that we've often honored Juno Moneta. And one of the things is, I think in the you know, the Greek tellings and the Roman tellings of these two goddesses, is they're always angry at their partner. And understandably so, because they're philandering, they're not, you know, they're not honoring, they're not, you know, they're not in a conscious equal partnership. And so this is something that we also have the opportunity to transmute and transform as we go through the chakra gates and die to the old ways of doing partnership and so on. So just wanted to bring that into awareness a little bit more, and hopefully we'll have more time to do that, perhaps at the root chakra where, you know, we can get at the root of all of it. So I think we're ready to start our journeys. So again, just ideally you have a journal, your Venus journal or something to write on that's close by. Ideally you're not going to be listening to this while you're driving or doing something that requires your full attention. You also you know, if possible, ideally you're going to be in a place where you're not going to be interrupted and you can be comfortable and you can do whatever works for you. Some people like to lie down, cover their eyes. Some people like to maybe stand and sway and move. Whatever works for you. The thing about covering your eyes is it does help you maintain focus and intention on the ceremony, both at the Venus Temple and the Sky Temple. So, but again, whatever works for you, whatever works best for you. And again, once we complete these ceremonies, we will be going right into Q&A because it took us longer to get through this content than we thought it would. Anyway, so, and of course, if you're listening to the recording, you can always stop it and take all the time you need before completing listening to the recording. So let's begin. And again, let's begin by focusing on our breath and bringing ourselves fully into this moment. And as you bring yourself into the moment, ask your personal grandmother guide or guides, your all your allies, the guardian angels, helping spirits, power animals, especially if you, there's one that you had that showed up for you at the third chakra gate, to journey with you. And you're going to step through the Stargate portal that's opening before you that will take you instantly to the steps of the Venus Temple. And this is where you're, of course, again, warmly welcomed by a wise and beautiful grandmother who's already clearing your energy field with ceremonial sage. So when the smudging is complete, you're directed to pass through the temple doors into the temple courtyard and join your Venus sisters and brothers at the Venus altar. Feeling into the power, strength, and beauty of the sacred space we have all been co-creating since the beginning of this Venus cycle, notice where you may have any remaining resistance to releasing what may be in the way of you experiencing your true value and worth beyond how our current ordinary reality judges value, based on how much money a person has, how successful they are in their work, based on an external standard, a standard that may have nothing to do with how impactful your presence is in helping others, in changing the world, or just being a bright, high vibrational being. So do you sense any resistance within yourself in truly valuing who you are? And do you sense any fear, judgment, or uncertainty around your true value, your true worth, or knowing that you are a true gift to this life? So as you focus your attention on the Venus altar, it's filled with orange flowers, orange crystals, orange candles flickering and dancing, their light across the altar. You notice a beautiful, loving, relational goddess, radiant and vibrantly alive, standing before you. And you can feel her kindness and caring as she gazes into your eyes and places her hand over your sacral chakra, filling you with the light that she is, and she declares these words to you. Beloved one, the fact that you are alive, that you exist, that you experience and express love is more precious than you have yet imagined, and more precious and valuable than any material wealth you could ever have. True wealth includes vibrant, radiant health and well-being, deeply profound, supportive, and fun relationships, meaningful work that makes a difference in the world, feeling joy for no reason, feeling love, loved, and loving for no reason, feeling your life and who you are has value for no particular reason. Beloved one, you are you aware of your true worth? Is it awake within you? If it's not, are you ready to know, feel, and express your true divine self? Are you aware of waking up to know and live more fully from your true self? There's no right or wrong answer. There's no better or worse place to be. You are not being judged, except perhaps by yourself. sleeping, waking, awakening, wide awake, all have their place in the circle of life. When we're wide awake, there comes a time for returning to sleep. And when we're asleep, there comes a time for waking up. Each time you awaken and then go to sleep, you awaken once again to new potentials that wouldn't have been possible had you not gone to sleep. So note where you are in this cycle and note how willing you are to embrace the next phase of this journey. Are you willing to let go of whatever is in the way of greater awakening of your creative sexual energy? Knowing that this energy is already yours, it is already your divine birthright. Are you ready to allow your conscious awareness to connect with your sacral sexual center? Are you willing to release whatever is in the way of your ability to experience full body orgasm as one of the most profound spiritual experiences you can ever have? If you are already having this kind of experience, are you ready and willing to take it to the next octave? If your answer is not an ecstatic yes, what distortions, trauma, wounds, limiting beliefs are in the way of that yes? Are you willing to release whatever is blocking you from experiencing profound, pleasurable life force in every cell of your being, on all levels of your being, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? So the beautiful goddess before you now directs your attention to the Venus altar and asks you to notice what is on the altar that captures your attention. Notice the first thing you see. How does this image or symbol represent a personal message helping to inform your journey at this time? If you don't know what the symbol means or what message it has for you in this moment, or even if you do know, remember this is something for you to work with over this next month, to continue asking for a deeper understanding to reveal itself to you as we journey through the sacral chakra. Now the relational goddess tells you, know that if you are ready, I am here to help you do that. I am here to help you. All you must do is ask. The relational goddess invites you to walk in beauty, to know your value and worth is even more than you currently know, and that she will continue to support you in releasing whatever is ready to be released during this chakra gate, supporting you and opening the space within you for you to feel and experience more aliveness than you have ever felt before, and that this aliveness will become even more apparent on the ascent journey. So now you step back and bow to this magnificent relational goddess, allowing yourself a moment to express your heartfelt thanks as you take your leave to return to the temple steps in preparation for the Sky Temple ceremony.
And now from the steps of the Venus Temple, you once again look up to see the winding path leading into the great and deep forest. You follow this path, surrounded once again by the great and ancient trees. And this time as you walk, it's as if you hear around you the whispering, the rustling of the alive, alive trees. And now suddenly, once again, a ball of light appears before you, lighting the path and leading you into the clearing, under what is now the dark, bedazzled starry night sky. And as you step into that clearing, you once again find yourself before a deep pool of water, and once again you smell the scent of jasmine, and once again you see in the distance a glowing, spiraling staircase ascending far up into the heavens until it disappears into a bank of clouds leading to the Sky Temple. And you approach and ascend the spiraling staircase, again with surprising ease and speed. Again, you pass through the mist and the fog and emerge to find yourself on solid ground, finding that you have returned to the Sky Temple. And as you do, you look up above you once again to see the arched body of Nut, and you see her and you bless her and you give gratitude for this beautiful goddess of the night sky and for all of the ways that she holds you in her sacred embrace. And now as you look around, you see the kivas, the stone structures, the medicine wheels, the observatories, the stone circles and petroglyphs aligned with the cycles of the celestial, of the stars, of the sun, of the moon, and the planets. And before you, you see the great pillars, and once again between them, the crescent moon and Venus with the fish constellation still again behind. And this time as you observe these two great celestial lights, you see them merge into one great bright light, which takes on the shape of a great goddess who descends to stand before you. This great goddess, who holds a rabbit in one hand and a snake bound upon her head, this great goddess you suddenly recognize to be the Mayan goddess Ixchel, and she stands before you. And you know that this is the great goddess of the moon, who has guarded the mysteries of the women in the womb, as well as the feminine aspect of men. She is in her crone aspect, full of power as well as fierce love, with fire in her eyes. She looks you straight in the eye, and for a moment you feel a clarity within you you had not felt before. It is the kind of clarity you feel when someone tells you the truth about something you have not until this moment been ready to hear. My beloved, she says, I speak to you as a part of yourself who knows that you have for too long carried bonds and cords of attachment within your womb to the suffering and pain of your female ancestors. For too long you have taken on the karma of others as well as their limiting beliefs. For too long you have healed others with your body. You have done this because you believed that if you did not, you would be abandoned. You would become isolated, or you would abandon or harm those that you most loved. It is time now for you to liberate your ancestors and all those you love from any and all bonds based in fear and indebtedness. It is time now to allow these bonds to fall away with ease. And now she pulls from within her robe an obsidian blade, filled with light. Are you ready? She asks. If you are not, she bows in respect, saying, when you are ready, return. And if you are ready, you now allow her blade of light to pass over all parts of your body with special attention to your womb and to the back of the womb. And as you feel this obsidian blade pass over your body, you feel now that with ease, any and all cords, any and all attachments to any in any karmic bonds to the female lineage in your past and to the pain and the suffering that they have carried, any of those patterns where you have healed with your body, any of those patterns where you've taken on that which does not belong to you, any and all of those cords now fall away with ease. And as they do, you feel within yourself there now is a light emanating from that same blade that moves in two directions at once. That light from that sacred blade moves toward any and all with whom you have had bonds and restores a sense of balance, harmony, and healing and blessing to all those and liberation. And that light also, that other light now extends towards you, filling your body, penetrating your body with the light of truth and the light of healing, filling in any and all spaces where you may have felt a lack or an absence of your deepest self, because truly, this obsidian blade and the light that is now entering you is purely and only that light which has always been you and your pure essence. It is that light which you have never felt because you were so filled with the energy of others and so busy sending your light out to bless the world. And so now it is that the light returns within you and you feel once again the nectar, the honey, the sweetness that is you, that is your essence. And so you take a moment to feel that. You take a moment to experience that. And now you take a moment to give gratitude to Ixchel, who you know to be an emanation of the one divine being, of whom you are also a profound and radiant part. And now as you give gratitude to Ixchel and her radiance, in her fire, and you acknowledge within her also your own strength, you give gratitude and you know that it is now time to leave the Sky Temple, and it is now time to descend the stairs, and this time again, down the stairs you go, and down back into your body, into the present moment, into the room where you began. And now it is time to take a moment to take any notes around what your experience in the Venus Temple was and your experience in the Sky Temple. Just jot down a few notes of what you would like to remember and what you would like to anchor into your experience in the month to come. Blessed be.
Thank you, Tammy. That was awesome. So I do think it's 6:30 mm-hmm. on my clock. So but I do want to open it up for a few minutes. So if anybody has anything they want to share, any insights, any questions, anything, star 6 will put you in the queue, and we'll give it a minute or two, and then if nobody jumps in, we will wrap it up. So far, nobody has jumped in. Oh, here we go. Good. Yay. All right.
Yeah.
So. Emma.
Hi. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. I have a million comments, a million questions to ask, but there's one thing that you made me realize is that I have a very strong connection with this Venus cycle because I have Libra rising and Jupiter in Venus. And one of the things is that I'm finally beginning to realize that the negative programming that I have within myself is so strong. I think I've cleared it, and then it shows up with a little hidden tentacle here or there. And I realize that as you begin to mature, that working with Libra takes a particular depth that I never realized would be there. You know, it's like, it really makes me stop and say, who am I? Where am I supposed to be going? Anyway, that's basically, when we were in the temple, Venus Temple, my dear power animal, the desert lizard, came to me. And my lizard, the last time I talked to him, we were in the garden, and he had lost one of his front hands. And I was waiting for him, and he talked to me. He really actually made sounds, and we talked back and forth. And we stood there for about 15 minutes, and I realized that now with this beautiful thing we've gone through, that what was being said to me is that look at the parts of yourself that you have cut off and that you have ignored. In your service to others, where that becomes so important that you're in yourself, that you do not see that you need to, you cannot serve others until you have served yourself. So, and then both of the prayers, I will go back in and copy them out because they are such powerful ones. And thank you so very much.
Ah, Emma, thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. I so appreciate you saying that about those little parts that come back. I just think we can all so relate to that. It's such a human experience. And again, feels like Chiron, you know, just to honor that's part of what happens for us.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I have Chiron at 27 degrees Scorpio. I have Mercury at 27 degrees Scorpio. And I have Chiron opposite that. And it's such a fantastic energy. It's a hidden energy because it crosses over one side to another. But that is the only major Scorpio energy that I have, is that opposition between Chiron and Mercury, and I think I need to explore that much deeper.
So beautiful. What great insight. Wow. And I just really love how, as Tammy was saying, the message that you got from the lizard. I think I want to play with that a little more myself.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I need to bring my lizard into my greenhouse. There's so much food there for him.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Yes. So next time I see him, I will invite him in. But hopefully the next time I see him, he will have regrown his hand that he lost.
Yes. I love that imagery. That is just so cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks,
Emma. I am complete.
Thank you. Good. Awesome. So we don't have anybody else in the queue. We are at 6:36, so I think we'll just say enough for now. Oh, we have somebody who just jumped in. So maybe take over. Right? So. Hello.
Hi, I'm here. It's Leslie. First time chiming in, and I just wanted to share it. The whole the things that you were showing about Mexico and the light shaft. It used to be the case where May 19th, important things would happen, and it wasn't until I started studying astrology. I'm like, this is an annual event. It has to relate to the sun somehow. I realized it's my moon, Saturn, midheaven conjunction at 27, 29 degrees Scorpio. So the sun would be opposite it, that. All of that going on, among other aspects, being triggered as well. But I always viewed that midheaven, the moon-Saturn thing, as a concentration of light, like a vortex, right, of how energy sort of came into me. And so that I really found those images of yours, I'm going to have to meditate on them, and especially on that day now, I'm like, I really want to tap into that energy, because I just moved back to New Jersey, where I haven't been for 10 years. I've gone through some big, big changes, and I just know this is a whole new beginning for me, and this is really great timing. I feel like that's going to be a powerful conjunction for me at that point.
That is so cool, Leslie. Yeah. I love that. And that, yeah, because if you're, so that means that if that's at your midheaven, then of course the sun on those days is at the IC or the, you know, at the nadir of your chart.
Yes.
But you're seeing a light up into the midheaven, and so we think of it as the soul, but also in the opposite time of year when the sun is there, like at you know, at the zenith point in those certain latitudes, it would be exactly like that beam of light down through the zenith tube. So
yeah,
that's such a great insight.
Wow. That's amazing. What are the chances?
I might just have to get to Mexico one of these days.
Yes, you should.
Yes.
You'll fall in love.
So one of these days, Tammy and I have been talking about this, we might be doing a Venus alchemy group. And I don't know where we're going to do it because we haven't really decided that, but going to Teotihuacan, there's an awesome place we can stay called the Dreaming House. And they take such good care of you. You're just a mile from the pyramids. That's an amazing place, and then I know Tammy knows some other great places, but
scouting out a place in Cozumel for sure, but both places would be amazing.
Right, or maybe we do both.
Yeah. Right.
World of
how lucky they get down there, really.
Yeah. So yeah. Just thank you for that, because that helps really inspire me to want to look into that more deeply. So, and Tammy probably is inspired too. Right, Tammy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Leslie. Are you complete?
I am complete. Thank you. Yes.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So just want to wish everybody a fabulous month at the Sacral Chakra, working our sex and money mysteries, our self-worth and self-value mysteries, our, you know, all of those, all the pieces that are connected to this chakra, so that we are enlivening our life force. Hope to hear from many of you in the Facebook group and how that's going, and hope that it's a very useful journey in releasing all the distortions that are around that chakra.
Beautiful.
Oh, so do you feel complete, Tammy?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Have a beautiful
month, everybody. Right. Bye.
Bye.